This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown for August 11th, 2005. Today we talk with the Beehive Collective about their work and an anniversary celebration at the Machias Grange on Saturday, August 20th.
And corporate radio stations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority, and we are everywhere.
Dave Robicks will be performing August 20th at the Machias Grange Hall celebration with the Beehive Collective. This Saturday, August the 20th, the Beehive Collective will hold a celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Machias Valley Grange Hall, of which they've become the steward. The bees have been working hard in the building, in addition to the creation of their political art and ongoing popular education, to make it a space for cultural and community activities. On this 100th anniversary, the hall will bring together past Grangers from the Populist Farmers Organization with numerous activists and artists that have participated in or have been inspired by the work of the Beehive Collective. The Beehive Collective will be celebrating its 5th anniversary. Speakers and musicians from 12 to 4 p.m. include activist singer-songwriter David Rovics and main musician and member of the newly formed label Riot Folk, Ethan Miller. Dinner will be from 4 to 5 p.m., and the ceremony, including further celebration with musicians and speakers, will be from 5 to 8 p.m. The Beehive Collective's creation and sharing of detailed poster and banner art that delves into environmental and economic issues that affect people globally has found wide distribution far beyond the borders of Maine. Their work can be seen throughout the world, as indeed they do not claim it as only their work, but a collaboration with people's movements everywhere. Their work also includes mosaics, including the Biodiversity Crossroads mural being worked on for the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association Common Ground Fairgrounds. We spoke with one of the bees, Kevin, on the phone from Machias about the Beehive Collective's work and next weekend's celebration. The Beehive Collective is not myopic in its work. The art, the popular education, and the community work at the Grange in Machias is as much about the process as it is about the message, to put it simply. We'll talk about the global issues that are the topics of the art in more detail and the popular education. But first, can you talk about the art itself for people who haven't seen Beehive art or have seen the posters and banners and maybe didn't realize it was from the Beehive Collective? Talk a little bit about what it is and about the process of creating it.
Well, our group is based in eastern Maine, but our swarm is very spread out through it's international. We're spread out through Canada, U.S., Mexico, and Europe. And we get together a few times a year and swarm to be able to have work parties together and work on graphics. So everything that we do in our collective is collaborative, and the images are made in that way as well. So they are much bigger collaborations than just amongst the bees. We often travel through Latin America to work on the different graphics that we've done. We've been working on a trilogy of posters about globalization in the Western Hemisphere. The first poster in that series was about the free trade area of the Americas, and the second about Plan Colombia was a more direct and ethnographic approach to collaborating for the image. We traveled in Ecuador and Colombia, and all the images in the graphic were informed by people that we spoke with who were the ones most affected by the issue. The third poster in the trilogy is we're calling Mesoamerica Resiste, and it's about a mega development project called Plan Puebla Panama that seeks to pave the way, literally, for the free trade area of the Americas in southern Mexico and Central America by replacing the Panama Canal with roads and all this. It's a development grid that has lots of different tentacles, and it's a big story, both development, the push of development, but also the pushback of global resistance. And so to make that graphic, we traveled from Puebla, Mexico, all the way to Panama, doing interviews with people. And if you haven't seen the graphics, they're a little hard to describe over the radio, but yes. Basically they're oversized, black and white, very, very detailed pen and ink drawings that mostly use imagery from the natural world. We, instead of drawing humans, we choose animals, plants, or insects that are bioregionally specific to the different places in the world that the story is talking about. And there's a bunch of different reasons for that, but most of it is to avoid stereotypes and to try to bring in the images from the natural world and talk about that part of the story as well.
There was a quote in one of the many publications that the Beehive work has been highlighted in, the Earth First Journal, quote, "These pen and ink renditions of morphed machinery embody the technologies that threaten nature, while strikingly realistic insects are shown creatively resisting these forces and celebrating alternatives. Ants are the protagonists in much of the Beehive Collective's work because changing society, according to Latin American proverbs cited by one of the bees, is the work of ants, tireless, methodical, and accomplished by many nameless workers without the need for gurus or leaders."
Yeah, there's a saying, el trabajo de hormigas, ant work, and often we say that maybe that's a reference to how small you feel under the weight of all the nightmare there is to change or bad news, or maybe it's a reference to all the little things that are working in unison tirelessly to take apart that nightmare or build something in its place. But we get lots of inspiration from ants, and so most of the posters that we've made have ants as the main characters. And this poster that we're working on now about Mesoamerica, it has over 150 different species, specific species of ants from all over that region of the world. And that's how incredibly specific we're trying to get with all the imagery, so that the posters and the banners that go with them, the graphics campaigns, can be used by people who are doing education and advocacy, not just around economic issues, but also about ecology issues, because oftentimes, sadly, those people don't work together. And so we want our graphics to be able to be a bridge between those two single-issue worlds. And so that's our real big push with it, is to talk about economics with all these graphics, but to use images of the natural world. And it makes it much more multi-generational to be using animal imagery and just more approachable.
And again, in the actual drawing of these pen and ink posters, or as they also appear, banners, there are many people who will actually come to the Machias Grange and work on them, but sometimes are these mailed around for people to add their hand on it?
Well, we get to actually do the drawing of the poster. We travel and do interviews with communities and organizations that are working on the issue, so everything in them is all informed through requests and edits of the people whose story it is. And then we help translate all that information into metaphors and a design that all works together as a narrative circuit, so that when we draw it all out, people can look at it and be able to understand the story and be able to relate to the next person the story, so that the information, this visual information that we're putting out there in the world, cross-pollinates and morphs in that way where it's kind of contagious. Like you see the poster and you want to talk about it with the next person, or somebody comes and asks what it is and you happen to know, and it's a conversation starter, right? Rather than being a book or a lecture, which oftentimes people just have the capacity to consume and try to remember but don't necessarily have the capacity to pass it on to the next person. And so we're trying to create an alternative communication strategy in that way. To draw the posters, there's anywhere up to 8 people drawing on the posters at one time. And then at the end, we take a scan of it and we make these gigantic banner reproductions. And those travel around at high schools and colleges and community centers all over the Western Hemisphere with people who have joined the collective as storytellers. They bring around the banner and they go and give talks with the graphics to groups.
Can you talk a little bit more about that popular education, these presentations, where you're going within the United States, and you also are sharing the graphics with community groups in other countries as well?
Well, definitely one of our ulterior motives of why we started working on graphics about Latin America and working on solidarity issues from the perspective of the Global South is because there's a much richer history of popular education and using visual learning tools than there is in the left, in the U.S., sadly. And so we wanted to learn all these different ways that people use theater and graphics and movement to talk about politics, and be able to bring that back to the U.S. and have more inspiring ways to talk about the bad news. And so that was a huge impetus for us, and we've learned a lot in that. Well, one of the main things about it that's pretty interesting is we get no resistance at all when we're in Latin America with people. Like, people understand what we're doing and advocate for it, and it just seems really straightforward. We don't have to explain a whole lot. But when we're at conferences in the U.S. trying to have the banners up and talk about the images, oftentimes activists here have a more of a tendency to say that it doesn't fit or want it to be marginalized off with music or puppets or different alternate forms of communication and really have a lockdown on, you know, the words, the speakers, the books method, which for a lot of us, especially in our collective, we don't learn that way, and especially younger generations that grew up on junk food and television and video games, it's not a very healthy way to take in information in such a heady format. And so for us, this is a really important piece of staying active and trying to stay healthy with all the depressing news that's out there, is to put it out there in ways that people get inspired, even though it's bad news, and that it has many more dimensions to it.
And you have been able to go into high schools as well as college classes?
Yeah, that's been really amazing adventure. It's really hard to describe this adventure we've been on for the past 5 years in a little snippet, but back a few years ago when the bombing started happening in Iraq again, and that was one of the first tours that we ever did. And we ended up being on tour for 7 months straight at high schools and colleges all around the country. And often on a couple days' notice, we would have the auditorium of a high school just by art teachers or Spanish teachers or history teachers or economics teachers advocating for us, because we had this trick to get kids to pay attention to what's going on in the world and with an inspiring way to talk about it. And so we haven't had a hard time getting into high schools because it's been all we can do to go to all the places that are eager to have us there. And so that's been really fun to quite an adrenaline rush to get to stand on stage at a high school and talk about war for oil in Colombia. And everybody knows that it's the same story, but because we're talking in pictures and we're talking about it in terms of another place in the world besides the Middle East, it makes it, you know, safe to stick talk about it. So in that way, we've been able to really inspire and inform a lot of kids about what's going on without having to, butt heads to be able to do that.
Can you talk about the anti-copyright, the centralness of that to the work that you do and wanting to share these images with as many people as possible, so the sharing of the actual graphics?
Yeah, some of the guiding principles that we've had in our collective since the beginning is that everything we do is both anonymous and anti-copyright. So the point for us in that is to not go down the path of calling it art and separating it from people in that way, but instead crediting everything to the collective or the collaborations that have made these things happen, and then putting the images out there into the world as anti-copyright material, because there's a very sore need for more images about the systems that are happening in our world, and there's not enough graphic material out there. And so we give away all of the graphics by distributing them through our website, or people can reproduce them for any kind of nonprofit purpose. And so that's a way also that our graphics have got out there in the world and spread like seeds and sort of mutated and cross-pollinated. So there's a lot of different ways that people are engaging with our work.
And you have a website. Maybe we should mention it right now as well as the end.
Okay. The website is www.beehivecollective.org, and there's more information than you could probably stand on that website. It's very thorough. So check that out. And also, if you don't have a computer, feel free to call us or write us, because we love communicating with people that way as well.
And your phone number?
It's 255-6737, and the address is 3 Elm Street in Machias, 04654.
You tell me this is fair. You tell me that they'll get their share. You say that you worked hard to get there. But I'm asking if you see from that tinted window in the air how many people must be poor so you can be a billionaire. You say this is the way it has to be competitive in the economy. Poverty is a market incentive to keep people from being lazy. And I say to you, if you believe that shit they taught you in school, you must be crazy. Sometimes it makes me angry. Sometimes I like to cry. How many people been working all their lives for nothing? They'll be working until they die.
Maine musician Ethan Miller will be performing August 20th at the Machias Grange Hall Beehive Collective Celebration. If we have some time towards the end, we should talk as well about the mural work you do with marble and granite. But let's talk about the Machias Valley Grange and the 100th anniversary of the Grange, as well as the 5th anniversary of the Beehive Collective. And there's this big weekend coming up on the 20th. Can you talk about the renovation of this Grange, which is the continuing tradition of a populist movement, the workspace and community organizing center that you've made it for the Beehive, and what this means now in the 100th anniversary of the Grange and the 5th anniversary of the Beehive?
Well, we've been really adamant about balancing our global and local efforts throughout the history of our group being together. And so we have all this international work and traveling that we do, but we're also digging in and being part of our community here in Machias. And on August 20th, we'll be celebrating the 100th birthday and the rebirth of the Machias Valley Grange Hall here in downtown Machias. And our collective has been busily restoring this endangered building for the past 4.5 years with all volunteer labor. People have come from all around the country and the area to help lend a hand to fixing this place up. And most of the funding for our work has come through the donations for the political posters we create and distribute at protests and schools and conferences internationally. So that's a really unique aspect of what we're doing is we haven't relied on grant money so much. We've mostly been doing this very self-sufficiently.
You said that actually there's trouble fitting into categories in the granting process for you as being political artists.
That's right. Yeah. We had that trouble since the very beginning, and that's what's made that lesson coming really fast is what has made our efforts viable, because we had to get self-sufficient really fast because we don't fit into the boxes, even though it seems that what we're doing is very positive and engaging and fundable, but we're mostly doing this from posters and patches, miraculously, and which is really a testimony to the intense need that there is for visual material about mm-hmm. information that people normally hear on the news. So anyway, yeah, we're fixing up this Grange Hall and paying for it with posters. That's the crazy bit here. But we're nearly completed with all the endeavor we've taken on, and now we're ready to restore this special building's purpose in our community as well. So on August 20th, we're hosting a huge reunion and grand opening during the Machias Blueberry Festival, and the event will feature the music of David Rovix, Ethan Miller, the Eastport Fiddlers, and other klezmer and old-time musicians, as well as speakers addressing global and local issues. And there will be a potluck hosted by the Machias Grangers, and following that, there'll be the ceremony, which is really the heart of the day. So this special ceremony will reunite the Grangers with their building that they've been separated from by circumstance for the past 12 years. And the ceremony will highlight the rich history of the populist movement, the Grangers' role in advocacy for farmers and rural communities. And there'll be much singing and inspiration, and we hope folks can make it out to share this tear-jerking moment with us. So the event runs from noon to midnight, and people can feel free to call us if you want more information, or it's up on the website. But we're hoping that a lot of folks will turn out, because it's a really rare thing to get to share in victories together and of this nature, where we're really pulling together local things with global issues at the same time. And there's a lot of love and support that has made this whole adventure happen, and so we're going to celebrate that.
And now, rather recently, there was another reunion with the Grangers and the Beehive Collective at the Grange.
Yeah, a couple years ago, actually, we had our first reunion where the Grangers came back, and we had the whole Grange meeting set up upstairs, and there was a bunch of people from our group and many people from around the area, and all the Grangers from this particular Grange, and we had got out their old songbooks and picked out music that meshed our politics and theirs, and some of the bees sang to them in three-part harmony, and a lot of the Grange meeting is singing together and listening to music and people getting to speak their minds, and so it was a really heartfelt thing where there was quite a few of the elder Grangers standing up and going on and on about what it meant to them to have people caring for this building that was slated to be torn down. It's on a really dangerous corner here by the waterfall, and there's constantly trucks driving by. A couple have run into it, and so the building was slated to be ripped down and has needed a new foundation and roof and all this, and taken us 5 years to get to this point, but it's all getting hooked up again and ready to be open to the public and have events here again.
If people are coming to this event from noon to midnight, is there a possibility of places to camp or to stay?
There's camping. We're going to facilitate camping at our other building that we just bought in town, which is, there's 2 acres around it. So there's camping there, but also there's hotels in the area, so just let us know if you need housing to be able to come out this way.
Great. And talk about this new building that you hope will be even more of a central location for artists.
Yeah, that's really exciting news. I'm kind of full of it right now, but this our winter's project was finding and getting a loan for buying another building in town so that our collective could finally have housing and really get to stabilize and be here year-round. And so we just closed a couple weeks ago on this magnificent home in downtown Machias called the Clark Perry House, which is on the historic registry and has a bunch of land around it. And so we finally get to be here year-round, and we're going to be starting up a political artist residency program where there's not very many places in the country where activists can kind of tear themselves away from the hamster wheel and be able to focus and work on a creative project. A lot of art residencies really rely on your resume and who you know and have a big waiting list, and we want to create an alternative to that where we can provide food and housing and space and workshop for people to be able to make more graphics that are smart and informed by collaborating with people who are also working on those issues and building bridges that way between artists from Maine and all around the country with organizations who are working on the issues that those artists would like to make images about. And so we want this long-term project of the residency program to really strengthen those bridges and help create more graphics like the ones that we've made.
For more information on the Beehive Collective or to view their graphics, you can go online at beehivecollective.org or call 207-255-6737 or write 3 Elm Street, Machias, Maine, 04654 or email pollinators@beehivecollective.org.
I say the hungry should have food. I speak for many when I say no one should have 7 homes. While some don't have any, though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere. And I say the time for the rich, it will come. Let me count the ways, victories or hints of the future. Havana, Caracas, Chiapas, Buenos Aires. How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share? They hide in their ivory towers, but we are everywhere. Religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen and corporate radio stations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority and we are everywhere. With every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear, comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere.
Radioactive is made possible in part by Artisan Builders, providing environmental design, construction, and renovation for homeowners and local businesses since 1992. 525-7740.